This morning we continue our journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And as I explained last week, the Sermon on the Mount is essentially a manifesto. It is an outline of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian? We started 2 weeks ago with the Beatitudes, where Jesus described the sorts of persons that we are to be. He said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And then last week, he spoke to us about the influence that we are supposed to have in the world. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And this morning, Jesus turns his attention to the law. And he answers the question, what is our relationship as Christians to the law? Now, he's not talking about government law. He's not talking about the tax code or Obamacare. That's not what Jesus is focused on this morning. He is focused on a much deeper law. It's a law that governs not just our behavior, but a law that guides and shapes and directs our hearts and our feelings and our minds. Again, he's answering the question, what role does God's law play in the life of the Christian? And to understand today's reading, we really need to take a step back and back up a couple of verses and pick up from last week's reading. Let me reread this section because it sets the stage for this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And to that I say, oh my. And with that pronouncement, Jesus then goes to talk about some specifics of the law. In this morning's reading, we heard him address anger and lust and remarriage and divorce and oaths. And I think it's fair to say that this section of Jesus' teaching, it's some of the most difficult teaching that we have. It's very difficult. And especially the issue of divorce and remarriage is an issue that for many of us cuts to our heart, and it stirs up some deep emotions for us, painful emotions. And yet, as we take Jesus' words to heart, we find that these words cut close for every person who has been angry toward his brother, who has lusted after a human being, who has made an oath falsely. So I think this morning everybody gets a little piece of the action. But to understand what this all means for us, we need to leave the specifics for a moment and fly out a little bit and get the bird's eye view of what the relationship, what does God's law mean for us as Christians? How do we relate to it? What's its role in our lives as followers of Jesus? About a year ago, Ellen found an acronym on the World Wide Web, and it's an acronym that our family has adopted as our standard for how we speak to each other. The acronym is THINK. T is for true, H is for helpful, I is for inspiring, N is for necessary, and K is for kind. The acronym THINK invites you to think before you speak and ask yourself the question, is what I'm about to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it really necessary? And is it kind? Think before you speak. That has become our standard of how we speak to each other in our family. Now, it's worth asking the question, now, why on earth do we need this acronym THINK in the first place? Why do we need it? Why is it necessary? We need the standard in our family because sometimes our words are not true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. And I will speak for myself and say that sometimes when I am grouchy, which happens more often than I would like, sometimes my words are not particularly kind and helpful and so on. And so somebody will say, "Daddy, you need to think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring?" And I'll have to say, "No, I guess it was not." And so I have to say, "I'm sorry. Let me try again. Let me start over. Please forgive me." We in our family have adopted the acronym THINK because we recognize that even though we love each other, sometimes we don't think and our words are hurtful. Yesterday, we were all at the bowling alley with several friends. I love to go bowling. I don't go very often. I go once or twice a year, but I do love to bowl. And we asked the managers to put up those little bumpers on the bowling alley. Now, if you've not been to a bowling alley in a while, you know, of course, they've got the lane. You've got the gutter where, if you're like me, that's where your ball would end up more often than not. But they have these little bumpers that they can put up for little children and grown adults who can't bowl that keeps the ball from going into the gutter. And so we asked the managers to put the little bumpers up. Why? Because we want the ball to stay in the lane. But since we aren't very good bowlers, and we don't always bowl as we want to bowl, I mean, forget the strikes. I mean, we're talking gutter ball after gutter ball. Because we don't bowl as we want to bowl, the bumpers help us do the very thing that we want to do, but are incapable of doing. Staying in the lane. That's the purpose of the acronym THINK. It's a device. It's a bumper, if you will, to help us go in the way that we want to go. The way of love and respect. And that, beloved, is the purpose of God's law. To keep us moving in the way of love. In the way of love for God and the way of love for each other. But let me take it a step further. Now, we have some guests this morning. Thanks be to God. It's wonderful to have you all with us. I have two little children, and so you may not know the answer to the question, but those of you who do know me know, you will know that it is extremely important to me that my two children, that their words always be truthful. And not just within the family, but I want their words to be truthful with everyone. I want their words to be helpful and inspiring because I want my children to be a gift to the world. I want them to be an encouragement to the world, a blessing to the world. It is extremely important to me that they learn the gift of discernment to know when what they say is necessary. When should they say it? When should they not say it? And it's extremely important to me that my children's speech be kind, that it have the fragrance of the love of God. Now let me ask you this question. Do I love my children any less on the days when their words are not true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? Do I love them any less? No. Now I get angry with them. I get frustrated with them, as they will attest. But I don't love them any less. Nor do I love them any more on the days when their words are true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. And this is an important distinction. Though it is extremely important to me that they think before they speak, my love for them is not dependent on their conformity to that expectation. I don't love them because they think. I love them because I'm their father and they're my children. They do not have to conform to think to earn my love. It's the other way around. Because we love each other in our family, we have all made the commitment to think before we speak. And this gives us a picture, beloved, of God our Father and the law that He has given us. He doesn't love us because we obey the law. He loves us because we are His children, and He made us. And because we are his children, and because of the kind of family that he calls us into here in the church, he has given us the boundaries of the law. That's why Jesus said, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law. I've come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." He came to show us the purpose of God's law. He didn't come to do away with the bumpers. He came to show us how to bowl within them and to show us why they're there in the first place. He came to show us how to live in the light of his forgiveness, knowing that we don't earn God's law, or love, rather, by staying within the bumpers. We already have God's love, and we have been accepted by God, being covered by the blood of Jesus. Now let me ask you this. What would happen in my family or within this church if any of us refused to stay within the bumpers? What would happen to the relationships? They'd begin to break down, wouldn't they? And there would come a point where, again, going to my own family, if I began to drift away from the standard of think, if my words really became less and less true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind, there would become a point where my children would begin to wonder, does Daddy still love us? When we ignore the bumpers, you see, relationships begin to break down. Both our relationship with God and our relationships with each other. If you look back at all those specifics that Jesus addressed this morning, all of them have to do with relationships. Relationships. That's why Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Now, the Pharisees, on the other hand, they had a little bit different problem. They didn't have the problem of jumping over the bumper. To the contrary, they were all about the bumpers. In fact, nobody, I mean nobody, knew the bumpers of God's commandments quite like the Pharisees. But in their focus on the bumpers, they forgot the point of the game. Instead of bowling the ball and striving for loving relationships that the bumpers were meant to facilitate, they began clinging to those bumpers. And they began scoring themselves with a very different scorecard. They began scoring themselves and scoring everyone around them and how well people stayed within the bumpers. And when people didn't stay within the bumpers, because, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you've been bowling, but sometimes you go bowling, you can jump over those bumpers. It is possible, okay? And in life, right, when we get hurt or angry or scared or feeling selfish or reckless, you know, sometimes in life we jump the bumpers of God's commandments, right? And when people would do that, when people didn't stay within the bumpers, what did the Pharisees do? They condemned them. They judged them. They looked down their noses at them. Far from having a relationship with them, the Pharisees, that literally means separate ones, they would separate themselves from those that they deemed hadn't stayed within the bumpers. They excluded them as sinners. Now the Pharisees, they thought that they themselves, the Pharisees, were good people. But the only reason for their high opinion of themselves is that they were clueless. Well, they were clueless as to what the game is all about. They were using the wrong scorecard. The point of the game isn't to cling to the bumpers. It's to get the ball down, going down the bowling alley to hit the pins at the other end. The point of life is not to follow the rules. The point of life is to learn how to have a relationship with God and how to have relationships within this holy family. It's not that the law isn't important. The law is important, but it's not the point. Again, the Pharisees focused on the law, and all they could see was condemnation. Jesus didn't take the bumpers away, but he simply showed us, look, here is how you live in between them, in the light of my forgiveness, my love for you, the blood of the cross. It's not that the law isn't important. The law is important, but it's not the point. And we are able to live in that lane, again, in the light of the love of God shown for us on the cross, covered in the blood of Christ. Now Jesus said, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I read that verse, I think, oh my boy, those Pharisees, they were pretty righteous, right? But Jesus isn't saying, look, guys, the Pharisees, they follow 237 laws, you need to follow 238 laws. That is not what Jesus is saying. What he is saying is that your observance of the law has got to be about something deeper. Your observance of the law has got to be about your love. Your observance of the law has got to come from an understanding that the whole point of life is to have a relationship with God and a relationship with your brothers and sisters here in this holy family. You've got to observe the law out of love. Now, when we jump the bumpers and disregard God's moral commandments, relationships begin to break down, don't they? But on the other hand, when we cling to the bumper in legalism like the Pharisees, when that's all we can see and we begin to judge other people and condemn other people, well, relationships never have a chance to form in the first place. But when the law of God is fulfilled, when it becomes the bumper that helps us live within the love and forgiveness of God, when it does the very thing that it was meant to do in our very heart of hearts, it draws us into relationship. It allows us to draw close to God and to each other. Now, I'll be the first to admit, relationships are not always easy. And sometimes, in fact, they're pretty hard. And that goes for our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. We've all known the difficulty of relationships. Sometimes when we throw the ball down the lane of relationship, you know, we may not hit the bumpers, but it's like all we can do is get that one pin on the end. You know, you think, boy, this relationship I've got is just so difficult. Things aren't working. But as my scorecard will attest, you don't get good at bowling once a year. You don't develop a relationship with God or meaningful relationships within your holy family without throwing the ball down the lane. You learn how to bowl by practicing the game. You learn how to grow in your capacity to love, well, by practicing your faith. What does that look like? It's pretty simple. Read or listen to a portion of God's word every day. If you're in a family, try to do it with your family. That's how you learn who God is. Make prayer a part of your daily pattern. Pray when you get up in the morning. Pray before you leave for work or school. Pray when you sit down to eat. Pray when you get ready to go to bed at night. That's how you begin to listen for God's voice. Participate in Sunday school or some sort of small group Bible study. And if there's one that doesn't suit your fancy, we'll start one. It's not rocket science. That's how we begin to know each other, and not just know each other in a surface Sunday morning, how you doing kind of way, but really know each other and learn from each other. Goodness knows, 9 times out of 10, where I hear from the Lord, often it's through the mouth of a brother or sister who has pored over some passage that I've had a difficulty understanding. Participate in Wednesday night worship and stay for dinner afterwards. Or if you can't make it to Wednesday night worship, it's a little bit early, it's 5:30, come to dinner. That's how we grow in friendship with one another. And finally, this touches on one of the boundaries that God clearly laid for us. Show up here at St. Matthew's each and every Sabbath. Not just when it's easy, not just when we feel like it, but every Sabbath, and worship the Lord. That is one of the most important ways that God stretches our heart, our ability to love him and love each other. Now, I want to make it absolutely abundantly clear. We don't do these things to earn God's love. God already loves you more than you could ask or imagine. The problem isn't with God's heart and God's love. The problem is with our heart. It needs to be expanded. Expanded until the day we die. That's why we need these things. That's why we need to be here each and every Sabbath, here with our holy family, worshiping the Lord. In all these things, we receive the encouragement we need to get through those days where when we keep bowling the ball and all we seem to hit is just that one pin on the end. Beloved, the point of God's moral commandments is not the moral commandments themselves. They are not the point. The point of God's moral commandments is to keep us going in the way of love. May God set our hearts on him. May God set our hearts on each other here in this holy family. May God give us a heart for bowling so that his holy law will be fulfilled in us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, send down your Holy Spirit and renew in us a love for you, for our Father in heaven, for your Holy Spirit, and renew in us a love for each other. That in love, in the light of the cross, in the light of your forgiveness, we might fulfill the true purpose of the law and grow in our love and relationship for you and one another here in this wonderful holy family. For we ask this in your precious and powerful name. Amen.